It's a beautiful thing.
I am so excited.
I am really excited too. You don't know how much I need this conversation today.
Oh, this conversation is going to make us all feel better. I just know it.
Yes. Yay. We all need to feel better.
You're 60. I'm 55. I just turned 55. I'm very excited.
Oh, congrats.
I feel like
I'm
grandma.
42, for anybody who wanted to know.
You're how old? I missed it.
42.
42 is a good year.
I know. You know what? It was a really good year because I thought I was turning 43 last year. So when I turned 42, I was like, this is everything. Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I'm ready for 43 now.
That was your dry run.
Always mentally. I know. Yeah, I just had Red Bull. I'm ready for it.
Okay, I got my coffee. Shit.
Okay, I got a Mountain Dew.
You ready, G-Rex?
Yep, ready?
G-Rex, Dirty Skittles, Nakoa.
Yeah.
We're all ready.
Three, two, one.
Welcome back to another episode of Shit That Goes On In Our Heads. I'm Dirty Skittles.
And I'm G-Rex.
And I'm Nakoa.
What? I love that y'all just entertained me with that. Well, how's your day, Nakoa?
You know, it's good. And I'll tell you why. Because I was busy. I'm going to throw a new phrase out. You guys are pretty cool. You're cooler than me. You've probably heard of this phrase. But I was busy herkle-derkling this morning.
I know what that is.
Guess what that means?
What does it mean?
Herkle-derkle is some sort of, I think it's Scottish. It's for hanging out in the bed a little bit longer than you should be.
Nice.
I do that every day.
I know, man. I'm like a herkle-derkle master now. So I'm like herkle-derkling. And then finally, my husband, John, he was like, I'm going to go work out. And I was like, oh, good for you. Mm-hmm. And then he does. We have a Peloton, which we really do like it. He goes downstairs and he's working out. And I'm herkle-derkling until he texts and he goes, done. And I'm like, but I'm still herkle-derkling. But I got up after the herkle-derkle. I got up and you can maybe tell my face is still red. I did it. I did it. I did a boot camp. I had COVID 2 weeks ago. So doing two exercise days this week was like, that's like running a freaking marathon after COVID. I'm just.
Yeah, I can imagine. So Peloton, like the bike?
Yeah, the bike. Or? And you know, Peloton has everything and it's sponsored, but I know y'all would like to be sponsored by Peloton.
Shout out to Peloton.
Yeah, exactly. Shout out.
They have mat, like you can do a mat, like you put your mat down, mm-hmm. You got weights, you can do meditation, yoga, boxing. I pretty much do the boot camp because that's like whole body and I just like get it over with in 30 minutes and I'm done. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But
I'll tell you a story.
I've done other stuff.
We had a Peloton. And my husband was real committed, right? And this was like a couple of years ago, really committed to the Peloton. He would get on there. He would sweat up a storm. He felt great. And I was like, you know, I should really get up on that. Probably did about 3 rides. And I shit you not, Peloton, I want you to sponsor us, but maybe stop listening now. That bike seat was painful.
You like, gotta adjust it.
I did. It would like hit the bone right in the nose spot and it hurt so bad. So then I was like, I need a wider seat. That's the reason I'm not on the Peloton, right? Get a wider seat. It was such a pain in the butt to switch because my husband loved the actual Peloton seat. So then I was like, well, now, you know what? Fuck it. I tried everything, which like, honestly, come on, right?
Yeah, forget it.
We gave up on the Peloton.
Yeah, never mind. Don't do it.
Yeah, we ended up getting, he just got a treadmill upstairs and I don't know, it's like a Nordic Track maybe. And I've been on that. That's fun.
Like that. Yeah. Then you can watch it. Well, now they have, you can watch Netflix on Peloton.
Oh, nice. Oh. That's good.
Maybe you should go back to that Peloton. There's a lot of shows.
No, I got
you
the Nordic Track.
Up.
We're good.
Whatever.
Oh.
You know what? I got snow and I get enough workout with that. So I don't need a Peloton, but they
Are
can
you
still
out there
sponsor
shoveling?
I only shovel a very small portion of the back. Because my hands are little doll hands and I can't use a snow blower. I really have like the fucking smallest hands in the world. They're like doll hands. So I just do a pass from the back door to like a little cupboard spot. And then my wife does the rest because...
Oh, that works.
Or yeah. We have a neighbor that's been doing it. We had a bunch of trees that they took off of our hill and we gave them the wood. And so ever since we gave them the wood, they've been snow blowing the sidewalk for us. So, oh, you know,
that's a barter. That's great.
And we offer to pay them and they won't take a cent from us. So, you know, those are good neighbors.
You know, I lived up in Massachusetts for a while. And when we bought the house, we're Southern. My first husband, I'm remarried, but my first husband and I were up there with our three kids and we were buying the house. And the guy that owns the house says, hey, I'll throw that snowblower in there for $1,000 or whatever, you know? And my husband was like, no, we're good.
Oh no.
I've got video footage out the window back off, probably on my camcorder. And I'm like, hey, honey, how's that going out there? Wish you bought that snowblower, don't you?
Are you having a heart attack yet? Because, you know, the snow up here, it's not that light, fluffy stuff. It's usually like super wet and heavy. And yeah, no, I'm going to stay in the comfort of my house. I'm going to go shovel my little like 3-foot by 2-foot section and I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I kind of miss the snow though. I liked it during holidays. I grew up in New England too. So like, I don't know. I just like the snow.
It was pretty,
but I also didn't have to shovel it. So
yeah. Sometimes I would go shovel. Just because I worked full time, my husband was a stay-at-home dad, and I would go and shovel the snow like for exercise. But he hated it when I would do that because all the neighbor guys, and they are traditional Massachusetts men.
Yeah.
And they're driving by like, what is she doing? Like, what kind of a husband is letting his wife? But I'm like, dude, I'm trying to get a workout here. This is fine.
Oh my God. I need a conversation.
Good.
I know.
What else can we talk about? Let's keep going. This is fun.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about some of the life lessons you've learned. I've got some notes here. So tell me what life by design means to Nakoa.
Yeah. You know, I asked this question to my podcast guests as well. And I was thinking the other day, what is my real answer? Like, what's the authentic life by design answer? And the truth is, my definition of life by design has evolved and it continues to evolve. And I think what I'm beginning to, you know, the message I really want to give everybody about it is that you already have a life by design, whether you're thinking about it or not, because you're waking up every morning and you're making decisions and choices. And my work as an executive coach, and I'm a rapid transformational therapist, I help people kind of get over those subconscious blocks in life that are keeping them stuck. And my vision is to help people help themselves live a life by design that they don't need a vacation from. This does not mean that you don't take vacations, but you actually like your life, right? You really love it. And when you're living a life by design that you aren't thinking about, that's when you typically realize you're drinking too much wine at the end of the day, or you're waking up annoyed with your partner, or you're resentful of the guy at work. And so I thought, how do I define it? I define it as life by design is one that you're consciously aware of. And that with every choice you make, whether you're going to go get on that Peloton or you're going to shovel the snow yourself or delegate that or pay for that, you know, right? You know, every choice you make, how does that align with what matters most to me? Not the world, not my mama, not the rabbi, not the whoever, you know, what matters most to me? And once you realize that, it's a lot more liberating and you can create a life that you love. And most people don't realize they've got that much choice and power. What do you think?
Yeah, I literally, this is coming at the right time. As you're talking about it, it makes sense that it would change every day, right? Because no day is ever the same. And there's going to be different opportunities, struggles, all of that. So for me, I'm, you know, internalizing what you're saying, thinking of how I can apply it to what I'm currently going through. And I think on our last Q&A, G-Rex, we talked about how I was like, I feel like I'm on the verge of something. Like I'm going to make a life change. Decisions are going to be made, all this stuff. And that is literally where I'm at. And so for me, for a while, I think maybe like a lot of our listeners, if things were tough, if I was having a hard time at work, if I was struggling to like go to sleep at night because I'm worrying about the next day or whatever, I think I would just apply this mentality of like, well, this is just how it is, right? This is just how it is. Suck it up. Do it. That is what it is. And I used to say that all the time. And then recently, what I noticed about myself and what I think actually drove the changes that I'm making now is I realized I had made a decision that made me miserable. Mm. I was compromising my core beliefs and things that made me happy to just make it work because it is what it is. And once I realized that I had gone against the grain of who I was, that was it for me.
Yeah.
I was like, and it's nice. Like, it's good that I finally broke through that, but also a little sad too, because I'm like, why did it take literally to go against the grain of who I was, my beliefs, for me to realize, fuck this. I don't have to do this shit. I could literally not do any of this.
Right.
Do the things that make me happy. And it just, that was what it took for me, sadly. But
well, it's not sad. Yes, it's just part of the journey. I mean, I think we're all born enough. We're born enough. We're amazing. We're selfish. We cry when we're hungry, when we need to be picked up. And that is normal and human. And then we're kind of brainwashed, right? And we're told, whoa, be quiet. Oh, stop crying. Oh, sit still. And then we begin to start answering to all of that because that gets us the validation that we want. Oh, I'm a good girl. Or, oh, I better do that so mom and dad love me. And over time, we just forget. And, you know, mm-hmm. in my case, I was living the American dream because taking my family to the next level. You know, my dad was impoverished. I mean, he didn't have any electricity till he was six. And then his dad was able to build a house. And then, they upgraded to a 2-bedroom, 1-bath. And that was a big deal. And then my dad talked all about education. So here I am checking off the boxes. Right. And then if there was one question I wish someone had asked me when I was 12, 14, 18, 21, 29. It was the question, why? Why are you doing what you're doing? It sounds like you asked yourself that question.
Yeah, literally. I was like, why do I feel the need to continue down this path? And I couldn't answer that anymore because I had realized it didn't matter what reason I had for why I was being miserable. What mattered the most was that this isn't me. And if I continue to be miserable, I'm literally having to make decisions that I don't agree with to continue on being a miserable person, right? Like, I was like, fuck this. Like, this is bullshit. And I have to give myself credit for actually vocalizing that to the people that I work with and like the people above me that needed to know, hey, I just did some shit that I don't agree with. And that's it for me.
Good for you.
That's it for me. I will never do it again.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Immediately released all that tension and that stress, and G-Rex knows because I vent her every fucking day, but I feel good. Like I'm in a great headspace. I no longer feel tied or obligated to living that life, right? Like, now I can kind of take a page out of your book and design what it is that I want the rest of my days to look like.
And that makes me so happy too, because...
Well, that makes me happy because what you did was you realized that you were the creator of your own reality. And, you can either look at it this way. One, it's the most annoying thing to recognize about life, or it's the most liberating, that I am the only one who can make anything mean anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It was literally, you're absolutely right. Like, I was doing this. I was feeling this way, but like the people that I was doing it for, they don't fucking care. Like, they have no idea.
Right.
They're getting what they want out of it. So yeah, no. Now, selfishly, I will go back to what makes me happy and not feel tied down. So,
well, you shouldn't have to. And that's called strategic self-care. And I'm big on that right now in the world of, what I've been writing, what I've been publishing, what I've been talking with my clients about is, self-care is not selfish. It's very strategic in a life by design. So, when I was on that, I posted on my story this morning on Instagram, I stopped hurkle-durkling and now I'm working out. Why am I working out? I'm working out because my 83-year-old mother has a cane. I'm working out because I don't want to get lost when I'm driving in my car when I'm 83. I'm in the middle of my sandwich generation, taking care of my mom, taking care of my, I'm now an empty nester, but still you're available to these young adults. And we have 6 kids between the two of us, 3 and 3. And if I don't get on that Peloton, then I'm no good to anybody. I can't serve those 2 pieces of my life. But most importantly, I need to serve me first. And I know everybody listening, oh, okay. My oxygen mask on me first. Yeah, I know. Well, yeah.
You're like, that's exactly right.
You might want to rewind. Yeah.
Yeah, I am so selfish about my self-care and self-love. You know, it took a mental breakdown for me to figure that shit out. But I am happier now than I have probably been in the last 25 years. You know, when I retired, like doors opened up for me that I didn't think were going to open up. Opportunities opened up. I'm just happier. And also turning 60, because now, like I said, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about, you know, what people are saying about me, you know, whether they listen to the podcast or not. I don't give a shit. I don't. You know what? Because I'm happy. I'm in a really good place. And I'm out there doing something that truly was never in the wheelhouse. This podcast, never in the wheelhouse. Retiring early, that wasn't in the wheelhouse. It happened and I'm happy for it. But like, and spending time with like my best friend, right? Getting to do this and learning and thriving. I'm living my best fucking life right now.
T-Rex, that just makes me so happy. And you know what I call what you're experiencing right now? It's called something even better. So people spend a lot of time wishing for this future life. Oh, I wish this, or I want that, I want this. And they're writing it all down and they're writing 3 gratitude items and they're having their, you know, daily meditation, which I love all those things. But if you don't add the tagline or something even better, then you're restricting what's possible. Because we don't know. You didn't know this was possible. If you don't throw that in there and open up those blinders to say, I want this and I want to feel like this or something even better, then who knows what you're resisting in those statements.
Right. I am curious how did this start for you? Living your life the way you wanted to.
You know, it started when I thought the only way to win the game was to get that whole American dream checklist checked off. And I was, if you asked me back then, do you live a life by design? I'd be like, yeah, I'm about to be an exec. I'm making this much money. I got the 2.4 kids. I got the house and the other house and the 3. I mean, I was like, I am winning. And I was exhausted and I didn't have any kind of extra. Like people would say, well, what are your hobbies? I'm like buying clothes for my kids. I don't know. And then finally, I began to recognize, you know, as they say, you wish you knew then what you know now. I began to recognize a lot of resistance. And as I tried to change my external environment, moved back down south, we'd lived all over the country. By the time we moved back to North Carolina, where I'm originally from and live now, we had lived in 7 different locations. My 11-year-old had lived in all 7. So my career, I just kept saying yes. I kept saying yes, thinking this is how you win. You know, overachiever, worked at GE and Thermo Fisher Scientific. And then I began to just start resisting. And now we get easily triggered. And I started dreading going into work. And I say to people now, if you're dreading clicking into the Zoom call, it's time for a change. Well, I didn't know that I was going to spontaneously quit my job on a Monday afternoon in Chicago with a stay-at-home husband and 3 kids, 12 years of age and under. And I just walked out. And I remember.
Did you say anything to anyone?
What?
Did you say anything to anyone? Like, I'm out. Or you just
I said it to the CEO who I was reporting to. And he was like, what? But I had this visual, like this window was shutting, like the conversation he and I were having. We were never going to be on the same page. And I remember thinking, wow, I'm about to leave this meeting and nothing changed. And he can't hear me. And I was really like, he doesn't see me. He doesn't understand me. And I remember walking out of his office after I said, I'm triggering my contract. Now, this is a very executive privileged experience. So I had a 1-year salary for the next year. But to me, it felt like I'd walked out and I was about to be a homeless lady. I mean, but the first feeling was, oh, thank God I don't have to do that job profile project now. I mean, I was just like, I'm done. I'm out. I don't want to do this rat race anymore. And the 2 years prior that I did not listen to, which I want to quickly share these two stories, because your listeners who aren't listening to their bodies and listening to their resistance and frustration, I had what I would call, we call it the near miss heart attack. I was in the middle of trick or treating once with my oldest son, my oldest child, and my husband had gotten the kids all ready for Halloween. And I come zooming in from work and I get out of the car and he's like, you know, here's the candy or here's the pumpkins. And we paraded the little one around to the neighbors so everybody could take the photos. And then I hand the baby back. And then he goes, now, don't forget, you're taking Justice, my oldest. You're taking Justice trick or treating with the neighbor in the other neighborhood. So we jump in the car, Justice and I drive over there and I meet the mom of his friend. I'm not kidding you, within 30 seconds, I've forgotten her name. This is how I was living my life. And right. We're trick-or-treating and, you know, it's all fine. And she's chit-chatting. And I'm like, oh, man, what is that? And she's just still talking. And I'm thinking, I wonder what her name is. And then I take another deep breath. And I'm having like pain in my chest. And it's really tight. And then it's like, and it's going down my left arm and I'm thinking, holy shit, I'm 38 years old. I'm too young to have a heart attack. Are you kidding me? So I start telling her I'm not feeling so well. And she goes, oh, that happened to me the other day. It just turned out to be indigestion. And I remember thinking, oh my God, I wish I knew her name. Really, so I could tell her, no, something's wrong. So I tell my son, I'm like, hey, Justice, you know, like one more house and then let's go home. So we go home and my beautiful stay-at-home husband, bless his heart, is like, do you want me to take you to the hospital? And being the alpha female that I was, said, no, I'm fine. It just hurt.
Shit.
So then I go online and I'm like, silent killer of women, you know, and I still go to sleep that night. And
holy shit.
It makes me think of so many things I want to talk about. But in the long run, I go into my office the next morning with my American Dream Checklist assistant sitting there. And she says, what the hell, Nakoa? I've made you an appointment with the cardiologist right now. And then she goes, do you want me to drive you? And I went, no, I got it.
Oh,
so I get there. Long story short, the cardiologist comes into my appointment. My blood pressure's off the charts. And he says, so, Mrs. Dunn, you're not having a heart attack. And I said, well, wait for it. I said,
oh my God.
On the chart, does it say I'm not having a heart attack? Because I'd already done my homework. And all these male doctors were going to tell me that this was anxiety and stress, and they weren't going to actually see that I was having a heart attack.
Yeah.
So it was anxiety and stress, and I burst into tears, and I'm calling my mom from the car like a good Southern girl does, and I'm like, Mama, it's not a heart attack. And she's like, thank God. I'm so glad you're going to be fine, and I'm sobbing. She says, why are you still crying, darling? And I said, why am I so disappointed? Mm-hmm. And that's when I knew I needed to make a change.
Yeah.
But Dirty Skittles, did I make a change? G-Rex, did I make a change? No.
You didn't?
No. She went back and did the same shit again. Because we always do that.
No fucking way.
Because we don't fucking learn. Because we don't learn.
9 months later, malignant melanoma. I wonder why I keep looking at this mole on my right thigh. My first husband, sweet man. You should probably go get that checked. Well, I managed to go get a facial every 6 weeks at the same dermatologist. And finally, the dermatologist says to me, the esthetician says to me, you know, I found malignant melanoma on a client the other day. And I was like, really? You know, that's amazing. I keep looking at this thing on my thigh. She's like, you should get a checkup. And I was like, oh, it doesn't look like any of the other cancer pictures, right? She's like, go make an appointment. You walk literally 25 feet from here. So I made the appointment. Fast forward, I'm in Chicago on a business trip. Sit in the front seat after having had the appointment. And I remember the doctor had asked me, is there anything at all that caused you to come in? And I was like, just a checkup. She's like, anything? I said, well, I keep looking at this one on my thigh. So she'd taken this biopsy and called me that afternoon in Chicago and said, Mrs. Dunn, we've scheduled you for surgery for tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm very busy. I'm in Chicago.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I'm sorry. I don't have time for, you know. And she says, but let me explain to you. You have malignant melanoma and it's stage 3. And I was, wait, I said, how many stages are there?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm the only one. I'm in a car service. Like, there's this driver. And I hang up the phone and he goes, oh, Miss Dunn, are you okay? I said, what's your name? He said, I think he said his name was Robert. Yeah, Robert. And I said, Robert, I think we just bonded. He goes, what do you need? What do you want me to do? I said, well, I need to call my husband and then mom, and I need you to take me back to the hotel. And I got that carved out. And then what did I do? What did I do, G-Rex?
You just kept on the same pattern because we don't fucking learn. Okay. We don't. You don't learn until you have a complete fucking mental breakdown. And then you realize that shit was, maybe I should have taken a little bit better care of myself.
Maybe I should have. Maybe I should have listened to that intuition, right? So they carve it out. I don't have it in any of the lymph nodes. I don't have to have treatment. Nobody's marching for me. Nobody's wearing a pink ribbon for me. So I'm like, well, I didn't really have cancer. I guess I better just go back to work. I quit 9 months after that. And I didn't even know. And it was the intuition that said, get the fuck out of here. I mean, you are just, this is enough. It is enough. I mean, and so that was, y'all, that I'm in my 16th year since the quit story. Mm. And I will tell you that after the quit, I still didn't learn the lesson as well as I thought I had. Because what I did next was I started my own business. And then I was thinking, oh, crap, I got to figure out how to make all this money again. And I've only got a year. So I started another business. And I was like, multiple revenue streams. That's how I'll do it. And I'm just working my ass off. And then I started resenting the phone call of my new president of the company I'd started. And I thought, wait a minute, what in the world? And I had created what I call the same circus under a different tent.
Mm.
And that's when I finally woke up. And that would have been, I quit in 09. And that was probably 10, 11, 12. That was probably about 2014. It took me that long, you guys. So I share these stories because whoever out there is listening and is trying to make the change, be patient with yourself. You're kind of, like you said, we never learn. We're kind of idiots. And that's why, you know, you were talking about, I'm so sad. Why didn't I figure this out before? It must be the journey. I think it's just what's required.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the journey. You know, I like that way of thinking about it.
Because we're so mean to ourselves, right? We're like, if I just do this like one little change, everything will be better. Or if I don't listen to this person, things will be better. Or how about if I stand up in the middle of the fucking office and call everybody a bunch of fuckers, everything will be better. All right. It was.
You do that?
I did.
I want to do that.
If you did. Yeah,
true
I did.
Story.
There's a true story. And there's one of our episodes talks about setting boundaries and, you know, maybe not standing up in the middle of the office and calling people a bunch of fuckers. But, you know, life takes us on these paths and, you know, we don't learn. You know, I wish that I'd learned some of the lessons over the last year, 20 years ago.
But here's what we did learn. Here's why that all, I think there's value in all. Hashtag value in all. Because if I had not gone through all that, we wouldn't be having this conversation for everybody listening. And we're helping them get out ahead of their life by design more intentionally. I always say, get out ahead of it. Like, what is it that you want? Get out there. Go ahead and anticipate for something even better. And if you can practice that, you know, we had to go through it to give them that valuable insight and knowing and learning. So I trust it. I don't regret it. I'm actually kind of entertained by my naivete and my self-righteousness. It's kind of funny now when you look back on it. I'm like, who did I think I was?
Superwoman.
Right.
I think I struggle. I'm still struggling with fear, the fear of trying something different because I hate to fail. And I know it's normal. Nobody's perfect. But for me, the fear of failing will stop me from trying something.
Have you failed in your life?
Oh, okay. God.
So what are you making failure mean?
That is a good question. I think I am hard on myself. So if I'm going to do something outside of, I'm going to call it the comfort zone, which is like, you know,
what you
things I know that I'm not going to. Right, right. If I'm going to do something outside of that and it has to succeed, the pressure of if it doesn't succeed, then you've wasted your time doing this thing.
So that makes sense. Never that you tried would it think that if you wasted your time, then you would think I didn't, you know, I'm going to die sooner because I wasted that amount of time when I could have been doing something different, right?
That's true. That makes me laugh.
Well, you know, my favorite question is, what am I making this mean?
Yeah.
And when I can answer that, I usually go into like root cause analysis. So ask yourself the question why five times. Like, what am I making this mean? I'm making it mean that I wasted my time. Well, why would I think that I had wasted my time? Well, because I don't think there's any value in doing something that doesn't succeed. Well, and then the question is, well, where did I learn that?
Yeah.
And then, is that true? Was that a waste of time? Okay, well, what did I learn? Did I learn something while I was going through that? Well, yeah, I learned I don't like that. Oh, great. And that was a valuable experience.
Yeah, I think that's got to be it, because like, I'm like, I'm going to commit to try something different. And if I fail at it, then I've wasted my time. And also, like, I'm like, I should have never even tried it, right? Like an example, I have this t-shirt printer because I'm like, I'm going to start printing t-shirts. I have this whole plan up here. But to actually execute it, I freeze because I'm like, shit, what if I do it? And okay, like, let's say it's good. Then what's next? Are people going to want to buy it? What if they don't? Then what am I doing? I'm just fucking out here.
Well, I love that because you know what you just did is that you stepped back and you actually had a conversation with yourself. And if you can learn how to have
all the time.
A conversation, right? Right? The shit that goes on in our heads. Well, I want you to say, well, that's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
And by the way, I do this whole thing with my coaching clients. It's called energy leadership. And we all have life experiences that brought us to today's conversation. And as a result of all of those life experiences, we have a perception of the world and we have an attitudinal perception. And there's seven levels, but there's six different ways in which you can be perceiving your world. Mm. And the way you just described it is in that scenario, well, I've lost before I've even started. That's called level one energy. It's catabolic. It's really heavy. It's a scientific term for negativity and fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And that level one energy as the victim, which everybody hates that word, but it's victimhood. We go, oh, I've lost before I've even started. I mean, what if nobody even liked? You know what? Nobody even wants me to be printing any t-shirts anyway. I mean, who wants that for me? Or level two energy is the fighter. You know what? Maybe you flipped it around. You're like, well, screw this. I'm not going to do it. I'm an idiot anyway. I don't know what I think I'm doing. That's ridiculous. I'm going to just go sell that shit. And what a waste of my money. And you beat yourself up. Mm-hmm. Or you get to level three, which is the first level of this taking response, ability to respond, right? I can respond to my world differently. I'm now in an anabolic space where I'm growing. It's lighter, doesn't feel heavy anymore. And I can, because I can observe myself and have this conversation, I can change the words. And I can go, well, okay, I can look at it that way. Or I can just forgive myself for spending money on that t-shirt thing, because the truth is I don't really want to do it, or I would have done it by now. So I'm just going to go sell it on eBay and call it a day. Or I'm going to make five t-shirts today and I'm going to sell them to G-Rex and then I'll call myself successful.
And you know what? I would buy those t-shirts.
She would buy them. I would buy one because I love you and we had the conversation. Before you know it, you're like a phenomenal.
Except the problem.
You go to level four, which is the caregiver, and you're just nice to yourself. You think, well, give myself a break. I got excited about t-shirts that day and I bought that thing. Yeah, I'm just going to be nice to me. And maybe tomorrow I'll feel like it, but I'm not going to beat myself up anymore because I love me. And the only way I win is if I give myself that kind of love or win. Hey, you know, G-Rex, you want to come over today? We're going to make four t-shirts and I need your help. a win for me is to get going on this plan. And, yeah. you know, what do you think? Yeah, a win for me is to hang out with my best friend. Great. Or
yeah.
level six, no big deal, man. Oh, yeah, there's the t-shirt. I don't make it mean anything. Level seven, which of the below six energies will I consciously choose to apply to this story today? Yeah. That's the practice. That's how you get to where you got in the last month. And if you keep practicing, you'll be like, well, yeah, that's just like you've learned in the past to say, well, it is what it is. Say, well, it is what I'm making it mean. Do I want to make it mean something else?
Right.
It's so interesting because I just applied those same exercises to the podcast, right? When we started this, we didn't think anybody was going to fucking listen to us. I mean, who wants to listen to us, right? We know nothing. But as time went on and we got more engagement from our listeners and from our guests, it was like, you know, the only way to go up now is the only place to go now is up. And if we do, yeah. you know, I don't think we can fail. And like, we haven't gotten any bad reviews. I'm waiting for one. Right. Like,
why would you even say that? Why would you?
I know. I don't know, because I don't want to put it in the air, but like, I think that I would handle it a lot better now than I would have, you know, almost.
You're trying to test yourself.
I'm trying to test myself. Right. And, and I get to spend time with my best friend. Like, we don't work together right. anymore. Yeah. Thank God. But I do call her every morning and make sure.
Thank God.
Damn. And make sure that, you know, she hasn't completely walked off the job or told somebody to fuck off. Like in person, because those are not the best ways to deal with your life. All right. Like, you have to kind of think about what the consequences are going to be. And if you are like physically and maybe monetarily able to do that, right? There are times in our life when we just want to tell people to fuck off.
I know, mm-hmm. but that's a catabolic reaction to the world. And I would invite you that you don't even have to tell them to fuck off, because their behavior has nothing to do with you. And here are the questions I would have you ask, right? The questions are these. Number one, what do I want? Not about anybody mm-hmm. else, right? Number one. And then when you got a little extra time, why do I want that? Really understand. Why do I want that? Number two, how is what I'm doing getting me what I want? Mm. How is my current behavior, my perception, my story about this, how is that getting me what I want? All right. Well, if it's not getting me what I want, am I willing to try a different way? Am I willing, not the guy across the hall, not the person leading the meeting, am I willing to try a different way? And the most powerful different way is to change what I am making it mean. Mm-hmm. And that's what you were talking mm-hmm. about earlier about, and then I didn't have any more tension. I no longer resisted what is. I began to embrace what is, and then I stepped way back and I said, okay, what do I want now? Well, I don't want to hang out with these guys because I don't care for them, but I don't have to attack them because I know that my life is mine.
Right.
I don't have to tell them to off anymore. They know what their life's theirs. Maybe they're showing up for me in this way. So I will make that life change. So I will leave. So I will go do what I actually want to do, because the reason they're really pissing me off and I'm really getting triggered because they're not showing up for me the way I wish they would is because somehow, somewhere, an agreement was made that would be the instigator for me to do something even better. So thank you for making me pissed off at you, CEO, back in the day. I love you very much now. Bless your heart. Does that make sense, you guys? Do you see where I'm
going? Oh, totally.
Power? Oh, yeah.
It's totally, I can totally get it. 100%. I really 100%.
Now it takes practice.
Yes. Yeah, no, I love this. Like, that's what I was saying. I was like, I'm so excited that we're talking today because of the fucking bullshit that I've just gone through and kind of come out and all of this realization happening.
Let's toast to you. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Cheers to you.
Here's my Mountain Dew that I keep getting shit for. So, you know.
I know. I listened to the last episode. I heard the everybody was like, you're like, it's red dye number 9 or something.
Whatever.
Gross, bud.
We're all going to die of something. Okay. I'm going to die red. It's all good.
So, Nicole, where can our listeners find you after this episode?
Well, there's a handful of places. I want to send everybody to my podcast. We just launched, when I say we, me and that mouse in my pocket, we just launched Season two. So you guys have been role modeling for me. I mean, I looked at, you're in season four. Is that right?
Yeah.
Season five.
Season five.
That's right. We just wrapped. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So proud of you guys. Well, so Coffee with Nicoa is the name of the podcast. We just launched season two. And what I do is I interview people about their life by design, the kind they don't need a vacation from. And I'm trying to share different stories about life that'll help people come up with ways to design lives that are more harmonized and integrated instead of I work, and then I go on vacation to feel good. And I barely feel good on the vacation anyway, because I never have enough time. So if people can begin to share their life stories, that's the purpose of the podcast. And I'm always looking for guests, so I might have to bring you guys on. I did interview two people at once, so I will do it. Yeah. And then the other way they can find me is I have a blog site called Coffee with Nicoa, and it's N-I-C-O-A, coffeewithnicoa.com. And then for all of my coaching clients, my executive and, you know, individual contributor clients, they can go to nicoa.coach. You can now have .coach at the end. Isn't that cool?
That's cool.
And last but not least, I just launched a book on Amazon, and it is called the My Life by Design Journal. It's a self-care coaching journal, and it's a book and pages for you to be writing and reflecting and having that conversation with yourself. So I'm super excited. It just launched, and we did it through KDP printing, and I made it a hardcover. Guess what? It'll be in your house in 5 weeks. So order it now. No Prime. You're not getting overnight. All right. So maybe you guys push this out by the time. But no, we should post this right away so people can.
I'm totally ordering it right now.
You gotta
now.
Order it. And then for the first 10 people that actually post like their unboxing and everything, we're going to do two free group My Life by Design book club coaching sessions, like a group coaching around the journal. And I'm super excited about that. It'll be free for anybody that helps me market. And then last but not least, I did want to plug, I assume this will go out before April, you think?
Oh, yes.
Okay, perfect. If anyone is listening and there's still a bed left, we are hosting an island gathering at Bald Head Island. My friend, Donna Dowson, her website or her Instagram is Journey with Donna. And she and I have co-created this retreat for women. And it's 4 days of luxury, like above and beyond. You do not have to lift a finger other than self-reflection and yoga classes and journaling and coffee with Nicoa. And there's lots of chunks of time to go and explore the island, swim in the pool, go to the bar at the club, do whatever you want. And then we'll come together in a gathering and really connect. And my word this year is connection. And this retreat is really going to be kind of the epitome of that. Most women are not taking the time for strategic self-care and letting themselves be taken care of. And I want to generously give to them what I have craved most of my life. And it will serve me as, you know, at the same time. So I just want to plug that.
That sounds amazing.
It does. Yeah,
that sounds amazing. I need to go.
Okay. I'll expect on show up. Yep. I'll give you all the stuff. You can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, all that awesome. Good stuff.
Thank you. I mean, I appreciate this conversation. I'm taking away from it more than you know. Thank you so much.
It's an honor. Thank you guys for having me. You know, I want to go to the top of the mountain and just keep talking all day long. So I appreciate the platform.
Thank you. Sure. Thank you. Yeah, definitely come back.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Love you.
Okay. Love you. Be good.
Bye.
Hi, all. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'm G-Rex.
And I'm Dirty Skittles.
Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. We'd love to listen to your feedback.
We can't do this without you guys. It's okay to be not okay. Just make sure you're talking to someone.